It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
First, I came out of it hating it. I hated the film. I'm like, this is trash. What the fuck did I just watch? Is this a cruel joke?
Into the pit with those bloodthirsty sons of war.
Unfortunately, have to agree with Paul. It's,
Why unfortunately?
Yeah, it's more funny than scary.
Yo, she bitch. Let's go.
I thought, oh, Army of Darkness, these movies are fun. And this is not fun.
No.
No.
You there, handsomely now. I'm on the leash. We shall storm their castle and get my book.
I shall command every worm-infested son of a bitch that ever died in hell.
Thank you, sir.
If the Necronomicon fell into the hands of the Deadites, all mankind will be consumed by this evil.
Its roots come from, it is the part three of one of the most gut-wrenching independent horror films ever created.
Yes.
The Evil Dead.
When Naomi spoke the words, the army of the dead awoke.
The gauntlet has been thrown. I'm being challenged on my horror knowledge here.
For that arrogance, I shall see you dead.
I want this on the record, Brian Stewart.
Completely different scene.
I'm trying to die.
Brian Stewart! You foiled me! You have foiled me for the last time! More threequel time. You're once again listening to the Horror 101 Show. This is your host, Cash Wampum, welcoming you back. And we have lost Toby Hooper. That was some shitty news to wake up to on a Sunday morning. Nude sticks her phone in my face. Toby Hooper passes away. I'm like, fuck off. And of course, Facebook and Twitter, boom. I've got people certain we were going to have a Toby Hooper memorial show. Nope. Not this time. We did both Chainsaws and Poltergeist, flirted with Salem's Lot a long time ago. We've given the man some love. It sucks that he's gone. You think Hooper and you usually go right to Texas. But we could very easily do Life Force, Funhouse, or The Mangler in the future, no problem. But no memorial show today. After Romero's farewell, we wanted to come back on a lighter note. We had the perfect Part 3 film to do just that. Bruce Campbell versus the Army of Darkness. I don't care if the owner of AOD has no rights to Evil Dead 1 and or 2 or vice versa. I don't care. This is Evil Dead 3, no matter how you slice it, ladies and gentlemen. We had mentioned on our Facebook page that our next horror threequel had another title that doesn't mention it's a part 3 to anything. One of you guessed it right away.
So after we posted episode 67, we had a few of our fans comment on it. And one of our listeners, Sean McFadden, had said it was a great show. And he said he can guess what the next show was going to be. So Cash had said, what do you think it's going to be? So he put his answer as Army of Darkness. And Sean, as I private messaged you a couple minutes later, you were correct in your guess.
Very good, Sean. You win nothing. You get nothing.
Except our respect.
Congratulations. You lose.
You can trade that nothing for what's in the box.
I'll take the box. The box.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Stupid. You're so stupid. Tonight it's myself, the lovely nude, the world-famous Brian Stewart, and the nefarious Paul B. Cult Sensation was unavailable this time around, and I misquoted the nefarious Paul B. at the end of our last show, so I told him I'd give him a chance to set the record straight.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
Yes, on the last show you said that my favorite horror film of all time was Creepshow, and this is not true. I can't actually name my favorite horror film, but it would either be Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, original Friday the 13th, and it is not Creepshow. That is my favorite Romero film.
Yes, and you know what? You know, I got confused because when I was recording the exit, the conclusion, I had that in my mind because there was a clip at the beginning of the show that said, my favorite Romero film is Creepshow.
That being said, there's nothing wrong with Creepshow. It's a fucking brilliant film. Except for this
Stephen King story. The most fun you'll have getting being scared.
You know what? There's look for. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. There's. I watched it. It's fantastic. It was like almost 2 hours long. It was called Just Desserts, The Making of Creepshow. Yeah. Have you seen it?
It's on one of the DVD releases.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Wilson.
Yay. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he was dead before they made it.
I can hold my breath a long time.
But they got some interesting outtakes of Ted dancing in the shit, talking to the crew and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah, it's one of the DVD... I don't remember which one, but it's on one of the DVD releases.
In einer Zeit voller Dunkelheit.
Möge Gott sich eurer Seelen erbarmen.
Etwas stimmt nicht, er hat einen Fehler gemacht.
Entschuldigung, das ist die Trailer der Deutsches Sprechen.
Groovy. Foretold by a mystical book.
Within its pages are passages that can send you back to your time.
Forewarned by a wise man.
You must recite the words Klaatu, Berata, Nictu.
I got it.
Fulfilled by a wise guy.
Klaatu.
When the army spoke the words, the army of the dead awoke.
Now, he's got a date.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Sheila! With the army of darkness.
You found me beautiful once.
Honey, you got real ugly.
Sound the trumpets. Raise the drawbridge.
Look out!
Drop the Oldsmobile. From Sam Raimi.
Oh, that's gonna hurt!
Director of Darkman. Comes Army of Darkness.
I think the only reason that we could call Army of Darkness a horror film is the fact that its roots come from. It is the part three of one of the most gut-wrenching independent horror films ever created.
Yes.
The Evil Dead. Each film has a completely different vibe from it. From the other films.
Yeah.
The first one is balls to the wall horror. Like, it is 100% horror.
Yep.
The second one is a horror film which has a lot of comic relief in it, and it's uber gory. Like, the first movie was gory, but the gore in part two was like times 10 gore. It was silly gore.
Yeah.
And then the third film, which went back into time, had one sequence at the beginning that gave you a bunch of gore.
In the well.
That's it.
Yeah, but well.
Yeah. That's it. Other than that, there was little to no gore. All the violence in it was like cartoony.
Yeah.
And it was like...
Harryhausen. I mean, literally, like, that's what they did, you know, like, with the skeletons dancing, fighting each other. It was like Ray Harryhausen stuff. So.
But each film has a different feeling, but it's all one story. So how did this survive? How does everybody love all three of them? Because you know they're all three very different films.
I have a theory about that, because Sam Raimi is somebody who is a fan of all film. He loves film in its entirety. I would love to sit down and just have lunch with that guy, have a couple of beers, and just talk about movies. I think we would talk all day. Because you look at the kind of movies he's made since he's left horror. He's done westerns. He's done... superhero films. He likes everything.
Quick and the Dead was fantastic.
Yes,
that was fantastic.
He did his own version of The Wizard of Oz. He kicked off the superhero genre, really. I mean, the modern one with Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. Let's not talk about Spider-Man 3.
Yes, let's not do that.
But
you know, he's obviously somebody who wants to make different kinds of stories. He doesn't want to be pigeonholed, but like you say, horror is where to start. You know, that's the easiest way to make money.
I get the feeling now that Sam Raimi, if you wanted to sit down and talk Evil Dead with him, he'd probably kind of roll his eyes, much like Clive Barker does when somebody wants to talk Hellraiser with him.
Yeah.
He's like, that's so fucking 30 years ago, I don't want to go back there anymore.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
You know, it's interesting, because I actually saw the original last... and so I watched the second movie and that Halloween party for my Boy Scout troop, and then we saw Army of Darkness later, because my brother was a big Bruce Campbell fan. He adored everything that he loved Evil Dead. He had the Evil Dead posters, you name it. And so when Army of Darkness came out, he owned a copy of it, and we watched it all the time. And it was like a popular sleepover movie because it had high energy, zaniness, fun, and it kept you awake. It was a great movie for sleepovers. So, in fact, when I went back to watch the original, it was probably more shaking to me than it was most people watching it for the first time because I was waiting for zany. I thought, oh, Army of Darkness, these movies are fun. And this is not fun.
No.
It's like the worst way to watch them, really.
It's like, oh, did you have fun with that? Oh, skeletons smacking each other and all that slapstick comedy? Have the first movie. Jesus Christ!
A woman getting raped by a tree.
Enjoy that! It's like, and then the tree? And the pencil! The first 10 minutes of Evil Dead 2 mirrors pretty much is a recap of how Evil Dead went, and then it continues. This movie did the same thing for Evil Dead 2.
Except they had to reshoot this.
The first part of it?
They couldn't get licensing, because apparently Evil Dead 1 has... the first Evil Dead has its own licensing. Evil Dead 2 had its own licensing and went to do the third part. They couldn't get licensing for Evil Dead 2, so they had to reshoot the whole thing.
No, I would disagree.
No?
I would disagree.
That's what Campbell says in his autobiography.
How do we stop it? That was right from the film.
No, they reshot it shot for shot, but they weren't able to use the actual shots. Like, they weren't able to use the actual film itself. It's in his autobiography.
I'm twitching, Paul. I'm twitching. And when I twitch, I don't twitch easily. I think there's definitely a few scenes that are ripped precisely from Evil Dead 2.
Had I thought about it, I would have brought his book.
Horror Geek Fight! It's a Horror Geek Fight, round one! Ding, ding! When he hacks off his hand, that was new. The whole thing with the
point of view shot through the window.
The camera coming through and getting his new girlfriend, that's new. But him... the door breaking open behind him and him going like this with the whiteness hair and that stupid scene of the fucking it looked like a stove kind of in slow motion going up over his head and out the door, that's ripped right from Evil Dead 2.
But it was reshot. He says it in the autobiography, like they couldn't get the licensing.
The gauntlet has been thrown. I'm being challenged on my horror knowledge here. I'm gonna pause this.
Okay.
And I'm going to put on Evil Dead 2 at that particular scene when the door breaks open. And then we're going to watch the beginning Army of Darkness. I'll admit that there's a new scene of the car falling, but the scene where both Ash and the car hit the ground at the same time is right from Evil Dead 2. I don't give a fuck what Bruce Campbell says in his book. I want this on the record! Brian Stewart!
Completely different scene.
I'm trying to die.
Brian Stewart! You foiled me! You have foiled me for the last time!
No, those shots are identical. I have to admit.
The first shot of the car falling is new, but the second shot with both him and the car falling and that tree coming down,
and him landing at the
right
same
from
time,
Evil Dead.
It's identical.
Just telling you what I read in Campbell's autobiography.
You
know what? I want Campbell on the phone. Nude, hook me up immediately. You get Campbell on this phone.
I'm trying to download the ebook.
That means Sam Raimi broke copyright rules. He can be sued.
My lord, I believe he is the one written of in the Necronomicon. He who's prophesied to fall from the heavens and deliver us from the terrors of the Deadites.
What? That buffoon?
I say to the pit with him!
I shall soon learn the horrors of the pit!
To the pit!
You miserable bastard!
At the end of Evil Dead 2, he lands, he shoots a winged Deadite out of the sky, and everybody's like, hail, hail, hail. And this movie's got to fight for it, you know. In this movie, he starts off as being roped in as the enemy of the state, kind of deal.
Yeah, they're gonna
kill him, right? And he's like, I don't know who these people
are.
Hey,
I just met these assholes.
He's under the gun.
Into the pit with those bloodthirsty sons of whores.
No. 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 No.
First scene when the geyser of blood had come out, only because it reminded me of Nightmare on Elm Street when Glenn got pulled in through the bed. And that was like a, and like you said earlier, Paul, that's so much blood for one human being, but the exaggeration of it was kind of appealed to me.
Heavenly God!
Make way! Strange one!
Strange one! Strange one!
Here. I love it. I love that. Like, he jumps further than anybody could ever possibly jump, and is able to jump perfectly to get his stub into the friggin' chainsaw, and then land and start the chainsaw on one pull.
And jumping out of shin deep water, which wouldn't have been easy either.
Yeah, I mean, the Deadites at the beginning of the film looked like Deadites. They had, like, the white skin, the pale white eyes.
Yeah.
The thing coming out of the wall at him with the big long jaw that he defeats at the end of the pit scene, that was Deadite. The winged thing looked like a Deadite, but everything else was just skeletons or people in masks, you know?
After Ash defeats the Deadites, escapes the pit, and punches out the Lord of the Realm, now he's got people's attention.
Sword Boy! For that arrogance, I shall see you dead.
I like all the little insults he has at the beginning towards the villagers.
Fucking boomstick, primitives! You fucking touch me!
And you primitive... Listen up, you primitive screwheads! That's hilarious.
That wasn't in the movie. I was waiting for that line.
That's in there.
Primus. No, he just says, you primates.
No, he says primitive screwheads.
He says primates. At the beginning of the movie, he says, if any of you primates touches me.
Yeah, but just before that, he's like, all right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. That's how we start.
I was waiting for the word screwheads. I didn't hear it. Play it again. That's it. Play it again. Challenge.
Jesus, Lord God.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. See this? This is my boomstick!
Wrong! Brian Stewart, you lose!
Oh, I missed it.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah! Now, let's talk about how I get back home.
So Mr. Pitt makes an appearance. Dung-eating fool!
Only the Necronomicon has the power. An unholy book which we also require. Within its pages are passages that can send you back to your time.
So after watching this, I unfortunately have to agree with Paul. It's not a lot of horror. It's more comedy.
Why unfortunately?
Yeah. It's, I haven't seen this in a long time, so I kind of forgot a lot of it, but, it's more funny than scary.
When thou retrievest the book from its cradle, you must recite the words, Klaatu Verata Nictu.
Klaatu Verata Nictu, okay.
Well, repeat them.
Klaatu Verata Nictu.
Again! I got it! I know your damn words, all right?
The Klaatu Verata Nictu. Like, what an homage, right? Like, that's, like, it's right out there.
Well, it shows that, you know, like I say, he's a lover of film. All kinds, all genres, all stories.
Those words are taken directly from Robert Wise's The Day the Earth Stood Still.
If anything should happen to me, you must go to God. You must say these words. Klaatu, Verata, Nictu. Please repeat that.
Klaatu, Verata, Nictu.
You must remember those words.
And that's a good... Not only that, but there's a bit of it in there where that story was about a world that had no electricity, which kind of fits with him being traveled and transported to a place that is all primitive and nothing works.
Yeah! Come on!
The two things in this film that really tie me into the other two films is the geyser of gore coming out of the pit and the point of view shot of him being chased by the evil, yeah. not seeing the evil, but just hearing that noise coming after him. That's a staple throughout all three films.
Yeah, right after that, that's some of the best cinematography is in the windmill, shortly after he thinks he's safe, and you can hear all the sounds surrounding the windmill and the gear stop, and all those long shadows get cast by the, you know, the sunset light, and that is creepy stuff in there. Some of the best looking shots of the whole movie.
And that mirrored part two, if you watch in part two, when he goes for the bridge and finds out that he ain't going anywhere, immediately the day just goes into fast forward into night. That's what's happening to him in the windmill. The sun is setting at a ridiculously high pace, and all of a sudden it's nighttime.
You shall never retrieve the Necronomicon. You'll die in the graveyard before you get it.
Hey, what's that you got on your face?
Huh? Blah, blah, blah!
See how that works?
I'll come back for you!
Now, that was him in the makeup as Evil Ash, right?
Yeah.
He played all... he's in almost every frame of this movie.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a big job. I remember him saying, this movie took up, 2.5 years of his life.
Yep.
Our Army of Darkness. It was a huge project for him personally.
Well, that's why they said they were done with it after that.
Yeah.
Hold it. Nobody said anything about three books. What am I supposed to do? Take one book? Or all books? Or what?
Andrew had asked before about why does he think these movies have such a staying power, and you'd mentioned Sam Raimi, and more than that, I think it's because of Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
He every weekend somewhere he's at a Q&A, he's at a con. He doesn't charge a crazy fee to meet him. He's very personable. I mean, people can ask him whatever, anything. And he's willing to go with it. He's willing to have fun.
He loves fans.
He loves his fans. He made a documentary. I can't remember the name of it. It's on the Evil Dead DVD, where it's just about that. The whole... This is before conventions took off, but it was just around that time. And I think that's the reason why they hold. Because he's so accessible.
You know what? It's funny, because he was at Fan Expo last year or the year before. And it was interesting. They have obvious secret ways and sectioned off areas of the convention hall where the stars can slip in and out of the crowds without being bothered or swarmed by fans. Bruce Campbell never takes those. Every time I saw him, he was running through the main lobby, and he wasn't going incognito. He was wearing a loud kind of game show host jacket, and he was photobombing all the people taking photos all along the way. He would stop and take a photo, and he would keep moving. But he couldn't walk through, and he had to go through the crowd. He had to go through the people, and he had to meet people and shake hands. He couldn't just, take any other route. He had to meet people.
As great as he is, you think he can get those three words right?
Klaatu, Murata, Nehrman!
Ash fighting the skeletal hands. It is, I laugh so much. It's so good. And the timing is impeccable. That is some of the best comedic timing, even for for a straight up comedy movie.
The skeletal hands poking the V in the eye, and two different hands
and
come
then
in
from where they grab by the mouth and punch him in the groin, and it's so well choreographed. It is just beautiful. It's like Keystone Cops meets horror.
Three Stooges.
Three Stooges. Too.
Ryan's favorite scene is the most over the top comedy.
But I don't care, because that was when I had the most fun.
I'll crush you. I'll mash and paste your bony cream.
Again.
Something's always going on in this film. Something is always going on. It slows down a bit, so he gets the girl, he has a little sexy time, he's off. He goes through his own little personal adventure, get the book, he brings the book home, figures out he fucked that up.
Dung-eating fool, thou hast doomed us all. When thou misspoke the words, the army of the dead awoke.
How many shovels are in a graveyard? Every guy who had a shovel, I didn't know you had one shovel for every grave.
Where did they go? Where did they all get all their masks? They all had half helmets. Where did they come from?
I shall command every worm-infested son of a bitch that ever died in battle.
Thank you, sir.
You there! Handsomely now!
By my liege!
We shall storm their castle and get my book!
I shall command every worm-infested son of a bitch that ever died in hell.
Thank you, sir!
I'll cut your gizzard out.
Bring on the wench!
Where the hell did they get the concubines?
We got plans for you,
which
girly!
Which wasn't in the other film, by the way.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yep.
Because
I don't remember seeing Titty in the first film.
Yep.
Whoa! My lord, we are positioned on both fronts.
Fine, fine, fine. Where are they keeping my book?
There, my lord. Beyond the drawbridge in the second wall. That would be the safest place.
An army of skeletons riding horses and shit, you know? And you can tell all the skeletons that are, like, tied to horses, because the horse is running and the guy's just going...
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying before. Like, certain points it looks like a Harryhausen film.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's some practicing sword fighting in the background that's right out of Jason and the Argonauts.
Yes.
Now, bring me forth into that castle!
Forward!
Forward!
Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war!
Being an explosion nut, my favorite scene is them with the arrows.
The opening volley.
Shot really well. The one guy in, but he got the one guy in between the two catapults, and he just throws his sword forward. He's like, fire, and it's in slow motion. The catapult's firing. He's flanked by both these catapults. They're firing at the same. I thought that was well done.
HD is not a friend to those shots, though.
See cover.
Watch out!
Take me! Run!
One thing I didn't notice the first time I saw this, I didn't see it, but in the high def, the blacksmith is in the car with him. I didn't realize that the first time. I don't remember that at all, but if you look, he's there shoveling the coal into the boiler.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because it's a steam-powered vehicle. But if you watch those shots again, I'm like, is there another guy in there? And I'm like, at first I thought it was a deadeye because they were trying to get into the vehicle. And I'm like, he's not attacking that one. Is that a corpse?
Right there!
Right there.
It's the one in the car! We want to get him!
And I'm like, no, it's, and I see him shoveling, and I'm like, oh, it's the blacksmith. Oh, wow. I completely missed that in the original SD.
And then she freaks him out. Yeah. Once again, the girlfriend tricks him, you know, calm him.
She may have looked like Angela from Night of the Demons.
Damn women.
Yeah.
Those fucking skirts.
You know what? We were thinking Angela Night of the Demon earlier, but in that shot with the red dress, I kept thinking she looked more like... Dana Barrett from Ghostbusters with the hair blowing and the dress in the wind. But there's a lot of little touches and homage in this.
I possess the Necronomicon. I've crushed your pathetic army. Now I'll have my vengeance.
Buckle up, bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Huh?
This may not come as a surprise to a lot of you listeners, but there are two very different endings shot for this film. One happy, one not so happy. If you've never seen Army of Darkness, make sure you get a chance to experience both of them.
Yeah. Brian Stewart, score this film, please.
Endlessly fun, hilarious. Probably not as much fun as the first time I watched it. It's a tough call for me because I enjoy it a lot, but it doesn't feel like a perfect film. There's flaws and little nitpicky things here that do.
It's a B film, man.
It is. As a B film, it's great. It's an A-plus movie. But if I were to honestly rate it, it would probably be a 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my dear, say hello to the boys.
Nude?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I actually found the flaws that you guys speak of very endearing to the film. I think it added a lot more character, his quirkiness. Even the dead army was funny. All their little side comments that's in the background, everybody's like mumbling and saying these one-liners.
I'll cut your gizzard out.
I loved it. 8.5 solid.
8.5 from Noob.
Yeah.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Nefarious Paul B.
For the pure fun of it, just for how fun it is, I would say it's an 8.5, 9, just on the fun. But as a film itself, especially looking at it now in high def, you can see a lot of the failings of it. But like you said, it is a B film. So I'll go 8.
8 for you?
Yeah.
Now, whoa, right there, Spinach Chin.
I'll match you 7.5, Brian. The one thing I really like about this film is, like, Bruce Campbell, who's the meat and potatoes of Evil Dead. I mean, he is the Evil Dead. Yeah. And this movie really let him shine, like, unlike any other film that he's ever done. At first, I came out of it hating it. I hated the film. I'm like, this is trash. What the fuck did I just watch? Is this a cruel joke? It didn't hit me until, like, a couple of years later. And I remember talking to somebody, but they nailed it right on the head. And I have adopted this point of view since I had this conversation with this person over 20 years ago. He's like, you know what? It's 88 minutes, and I'll be damned if there wasn't 3 seconds in that film where I wasn't being entertained. There was something going on throughout the entire film. It was just entertainment all throughout, and not a lot of movies do that. And I thought about it, and then I watched it again, and you know what? He was absolutely right. And then I kind of embraced it as like an Evil Dead 3 that's just very different from the other two films. After this, I was craving an Evil Dead 4 for how long? 20 years? And there was always rumors that it was Evil Dead 4 is coming, it's coming. But, you know, where would they go with it?
Well, after Phantasm 5, we no longer wish for old movie series to come back.
Yeah, no.
Well, Ash vs. Evil Dead is...
Or Prometheus.
Ash vs. Evil Dead is the Evil Dead 4 that we've been waiting for. Yeah.
And there you go, folks, the latest entry for our threequel year of Horror 101 podcasts, Sam Raimi's Army of Darkness, starring Bruce Campbell, M. Beth Davids, Ian Abercrombie, Ted Raimi, and a score of other faces you'll recognize. Special effects by KNB, they did another fantastic job for this film. And folks, we want to hear from you. Which ending was your favorite? Find us on Facebook, like our page, drop us a message, take some time to watch the end of Evil Dead 2, and then revisit Army of Darkness. Brian and I are certain they ripped footage right from the second film to put at the beginning of AOD. Nefarious Paul B is quoting Bruce Campbell's autobiography saying all scenes were reshot. You let us know what you're seeing. We want to hear from you. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B, and my wife, the lovely...
Wait, stop, what? Stop. Stop the fucking press.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm Bad Cash. And you're Good Cash. You're Goody Little Two-Shoes. Goody Little Two-Shoes.
What the fuck do you want?
Aren't you forgetting something?
It's the end of the show. I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you taken a look at your calendar recently? Do you see what's coming up?
Oh, yeah. A lot of you have been asking us for this for a long time. By the end of October, we're gonna give it to you.
I thought he was crazy, out of his mind. He's hanging onto a Halloween mask. He wouldn't let it go. And what he said was, they're gonna kill us all. And in a little while, he was dead.
For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B, and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening.
And Evil Cash.
Not anymore. And reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.